in the Gospel according to Mark, and the 16th chapter. Verse 14, He, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, you notice he doesn't say he that's been baptized before he himself personally believed, but he that believeth and is baptized. And that statement negates all previous baptisms. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, you must understand that word believeth is really related to what he said in 15. And you can read it this way. Eyes down on your book. Let us read our Bibles with understanding. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Last half of verse 16. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's what it's related to. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth not your preaching of my gospel, this gospel shall be damned. If they believe, when they believe, they should be baptized. All right. That's put the truth in its perspective. All right. Now then, beloved, this is a wonderful gospel that God has given us to preach. He has told us without equivocation that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said that every creature was to believe. And because at this time, these disciples, even though they were the princes of the apostles, Peter, John, James, Matthew, Levius, Thaddeus, and the way we can go right down through them all, they were there. He upbraided them because they themselves did not believe. We are ready? He upbraided them because of their unbelief. And how in the world can you get men and women to believe if the princes of the apostles themselves don't believe the fundamental truths of this gospel? We are suffering from this malady in this world in which we are living now. I have stood and preached in this fellowship, I remember it, when it was in Queen's Road. I tell this story all over England. I don't mention names, it wouldn't be fair, where I go. I remember one Tuesday night standing in the fellowship in Queen's Road and preaching the gospel, and in there was a gentleman, and he had a clerical collar on, and his wife was with him. And he listened that night, and at the end he came forward and he knelt down in the front, and God visited him, and I have reason to believe he was born again of the Spirit of God. As he went out that night, I stood in the doorway, and he said to me, "Mr. North, I've been standing in my pulpit Sunday after Sunday and telling people that Jesus Christ forgives sins, and I've never been a forgiven man myself." That's it. He wasn't believing the things he was preaching. Now, Jesus says, by the Holy Ghost, through the Apostle Paul, that we preach the word of faith. A man cannot preach a word which will generate and create faith in another heart unless he believes the very thing he's saying. If he doesn't believe the thing he's saying, then he cannot hope to do anything than damn and blast those that listen to him. For my book tells me that the letter of this scripture will kill people. And a man can either have the sword of the Spirit in his mouth that reaches men's inmost conditions and sets them free, a sword of love and liberty and salvation by intent, or he will have the sword of judgment in his lips, and he will slay people from his own wicked and unregenerate and unbelieving heart, and he will use the very texts of the Bible to do it. That's what the Bible says. Praise God. Paul says, we preach the word of faith. We believe what we preach. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. And no man's a preacher of the gospel unless he does. All right, brethren, don't be afraid. I'll stop. Pull the window up. That's right. You needn't shut it right up. Put it up another 2 or 3 inches. Then none of the ladies will feel cold. All right. To be able to preach this glorious gospel that will generate faith in the hearts of others, it is necessary to believe implicitly on what you are saying. Amen. It is the old question, it's the old truth really, of physician, heal thyself. Amen. Praise God. And you will agree that the great physician healed himself. Is that right? He hung on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And he healed himself. And by his scars, that's the Hebrew word, the scars of his healing, we are healed. Amen. That's the great and wonderful truth. Let all our hearts understand it. And he moved into these men as they were sitting in that upper room, and he upbraided them because of their unbelief. How could they go and minister the words of eternal life in truest faith to other hearts? How could they beget sons in the order of the family of God unless they themselves were moving in the glory and the reality of this wonderful gospel? You see, beloved, there is no tomb that you can go. Nobody's ever found the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know all the sort of show places in the so-called Holy Land where people go and waste time and money having looked round grottos of the Nativity and the tomb and the place of the resurrection and all the other stupid things that satisfy the notions of men, whereby the world pulls the money out of the church's pockets that ought to be put into evangelizing the world. I know, beloved, this is the tremendous thing. But there is no place, there's nobody since the days of the early apostles and the early church, known where that precious body was laid. And yet it's possible for all, by the glory of God, to walk into that tomb in faith and come out. The revelation of it is in the beginning of the chapter. The Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They didn't know what he was going to do was anoint them before some of them. They were going to anoint something that was dead. But you see, it was really the opposite. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came out of the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" I think that men and women all over the world are crying out that cry. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre, as they sit and face and wail in the face of death? And they don't know that it's an empty show and a mockery. They don't know. They want someone to go away and roll away the stone for them. They want someone to take away that which for them blocks everything. That the grave is the end and the dissolution of everything. And the spoiling of all that at least bears some semblance of beauty. And the horrors that lie beyond that gaping grave. They're afraid of. And they want someone to be able to go and roll away the stone. They want someone to be able to go and show them the glory of life in Christ. They need someone to go there who's been in that tomb. I've been in that tomb and out of it, and I've never been to Jerusalem. I've walked in it many a time in my heart. Glory be to God. I've seen the train of shining spirits. Hallelujah. My heart has understood and with the eyes of the understanding seen the old grave clothes lying there. Hallelujah. I've been there in my heart and known. I've walked in and walked out a free man. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. To know that Jesus Christ has shown up death for all that it is. Dealt with it, beloved, and buried it. Glory. And there's only a second death now that might hold some terrors for us, but we can't go there because we've been in that great first death, the death of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we've been into that tremendous grave. And we know we've been buried with him. Romans 6, we were reading there this afternoon. Buried with him in that grave. Glory be to God. And had the glory of a resurrection. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, beloved, when Jesus walked into that upper room, he upbraided those men for their unbelief. And their hardness of heart, that they didn't believe it. And it was the foundation stone, I might say, of this great gospel. That they might go out and preach this great deliverance through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they might go and tell all men what this good news is. That even the last enemy was dealt with before you began to believe. Praise his wonderful name. The very last enemy, leave alone the old devil, he's the first one. Praise God. And leave alone all the other myriads of enemies that he marshals under his power against the human race. The last enemy, 1 Corinthians 15, being dealt with. We start with the last, amen. It's easy to mop up all the others. That's the tremendousness of this great gospel. that in death Jesus Christ destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them all those that through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I am quoting from Hebrews chapter 2. This is the tremendous truth. Look, we've not just got to go around sort of preaching a parsimonious, half-hearted kind of a thing called the gospel, but the great engulfing love and power of God that has moved into the basic fearful states of men, moved down and shifted sin and beaten the devil and opened the grave and met the last enemy already before you ever breathed a breath. Hallelujah! This is the tremendous love and power and grace of God. No wonder he walked into that upper room and upbraided those men, as I say, the very princes of the preachers of the earth. And there they were, sitting there, and they weren't believing. They didn't believe it. That's what Jesus said. They won't believe if one rises from the dead. He says they won't believe. And he was talking about his own disciples. Fancy having to talk about your own disciples in that manner. They went and told them that he was risen. They went down to the tomb and saw his body wasn't there. And they preferred to believe the lies of Satan. Disciples. Apostles. Yeah. And what sort of news would they have filled the world with if Jesus had allowed them to go out like that? His heart's greater than the unbelief and the hardness of heart of 10 million apostles. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Anyway, they can't really be apostles after the order of the apostleship of heaven if they aren't moving in this wonderful revelation and fullness of truth. Amen. And so he meets them and he upbraids them and he says, you're to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. If they believe, let them be baptized. If they don't believe, then he says, they'll be damned. He didn't say they'd be damned if they weren't baptized, mark you. He didn't say that. Praise God. But he did say that they would be damned if they didn't believe. And I, for the life of me, my beloved brothers and sisters, I can't see the point in being selective in your believing. I can't see why we should want to be partial in our believing. I can't see why we should want to select and choose to believe a certain set of scriptures and reject and refuse to believe the others. Can you? Tell me your sanity. How do you know that you've chosen the right set? In the end, you'll be nothing but the devil's tool and playground. There's only one way, beloved, with this great blessed revelation of ours. Amen. Given by Jesus Christ, vouched for by the apostles themselves, written under the power of the Spirit, given to us, that the devil's never been able to snatch out of our hands, nor destroy, and never will, hallelujah, till the purposes of God are fulfilled by it in the earth, hallelujah. This is a tremendous thing, and it's here, this wonderful truth of ours. I bless God that afterwards these men came to faith and they wrote down these precious things to give my heart a chance to peep into the tomb, to give my understanding a glimpse of the cross. Praise Him. So that I might come onto this sure ground and know that not only have I the witness of the Spirit in my heart as to eternal life and truth, but the testimony of the four evangelists and the great following witnesses that moved and wrote and ministered in these great things of God. I want to ask you a question. Are you prepared to believe the Word of God? Do you believe what God says? Hallelujah. Will you go on and believe what God says? And if your life isn't right with what God says, will you have your life put right by what God says, so that it can be lived according to what God says? For if you don't please God now, when will you start to please Him? And where will you be when you please Him? And where will you be if you won't? There is only one way. Bless the name of the Lord. I remember in the days when my heart began to move out of the sort of prayers that Mother taught me, and the Sunday schoolings, and all the other things of my evangelical believings and activities, and my heart began to believe out beyond the realm of forgiveness through grace. Praise God. And I began to move out and seek after what I read in the book. Praise His wonderful name. I thank God that the day ever dawned in my life. I think you will all agree with me. I need to learn and follow after a lot more yet. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I believe I'm on the track. I believe I'm on track. And this is the tremendous thing, that you and I are to move into all the fullness of the revelation of the truth of God. Who's ready for it? Who's prepared to believe what the Bible says? You may have been asking questions in this room tonight, such as they asked on the day of Pentecost. For they asked this question, what meaneth this? Praise God. What meaneth this? They knew that when those people were, as they appeared to them, drunken, when they appeared to be in another state altogether, and they began to speak with other tongues, being given utterance by the Spirit of God, they wanted to know what it meant. It was a sign to them, and tongues have always been for a sign. So my Bible says, it was a sign to them. Hallelujah. And they wanted to know in which way the arrow was pointing. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Or if you like, which way the wind was blowing. See that the house was filled with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And they discovered it, the wind was blowing toward them. It meant that God had moved into the great realm of salvation for the world. Amen. Oh God, and 3,000 of them, 3,000 of them moved into this great realm of believing. Amen. Now then, my beloved brothers and sisters, let's go into Mark 16, and here we are. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Glory to God. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Glory be to God. This is the great sign that men are believing. You're in the midst of believers when you see these things happening. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Not that any man must rejoice. They are forbidden to rejoice that devils are subject to them. Jesus expressly forbade it. There is nothing to glory in or even rejoice in. I suppose there's a great mystery wrapped up in all this that I as yet for one have not penetrated. But this I know, that Jesus said we're not to rejoice that the devils are subject to us. Glory. Amen. That's a sign. It brings relief. It brings release. It brings deliverance. It brings healing. It brings peace. It brings all kinds of things to the poor ones that have been indwelt or possessed or tormented by these wretched things. But glory be to God. You must see and understand, my beloved friends, that God has given you a sign. A sign. That you're on the ground of faith. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Oh, it's wonderful when hearts believe God. These signs follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Praise God. Who are these things that are obstructing the progress of the gospel of God? And what are they that they should take up residence in the souls that Jesus Christ has redeemed by His blood? What right have they to seek to indwell people that God says He's redeemed to be His house? Glory be to the name of the Lord. In my name they shall cast them out. Hallelujah. If we believe God. Amen. And the next great sign. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. You know, I've read some marvellous, fanciful expositions of that. You know, that where it used to be a filthy tongue, now it's a clean one. And all this. Anything to get round the truth. Where it used to groan and criticise, now it speaks blessings. It's new. What a wonderful way of explaining away what God means. It sounds so nice. It's written across the pages of the New Testament. The Acts of the Apostles. On in my name they shall speak with new tongues. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sign, beloved. It's a sign to you that somebody's believing. And it's a sign to you that if you believe, you could. I didn't say must now. I said could. The trouble with some denominations, they mix up ability with necessity. That's right. In my name, they shall. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. When a man or woman speaks in a new tongue, they must speak in his name. Not in the name of Pentecost. Not in the name of some denomination or sect. Not in the name of joy or peace or something like that. Not in the name of ecstasy or new wine or glory. But in my name they shall speak with new tongues. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. It's wonderful to speak in His name in another tongue. My word. You want to be careful. If you don't speak in His name, you'll be speaking in your own, and there'll be some mischief somewhere. And this is the great revelation, my brother and my sister. And these are all things that mean something. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what God says. All these Johnnies that want to sort of jigger about with Mark's gospel and say the last half isn't there, they haven't got a clue. It's all happening. Amazing. You can get thousands of years for kidding yourself that the last half of Mark isn't true. It doesn't rely on professors and research. It's in reality. You've got the truth here. Truth was ever greater than print. It's flesh and blood and moving in the spirit. Jesus said, I am the truth. That's right. Praise his wonderful name. It's amazing how you can fool yourself. Here's the great revelation. In my name they shall speak in new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order that these men might go out and move and speak in this wonderful gospel, in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you find that the risen Christ is baptizing them with the Holy Ghost. That they might go and do it. And sure enough, there it is, they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave it to them, my beloved brother and sister. They moved out in this wonderful new realm. Oh, God be thanked that there were found a group of people that really believed what Jesus said. Thank God, there they were waiting. They didn't say, well, we'll go and preach about the blood, we'll go and preach about the cross, we'll go and preach about the second coming, we'll go and preach about the tabernacle, we'll go and preach about the types, we'll go and preach about it, but we won't talk about this. We'll go and preach about being good and doing Christian works and all this nonsense. I'd like to know what they are. Most of these works that are called good works, I could find just as easy as sociologists to do them. Women's voluntary services. Yeah, Samaritans that don't believe you should try and persuade them to believe in Christ. They can do it. Doesn't need Christians to do what's called Christian works. Why, you know, we had a wonderful conference at Cliff the other week. And during the course of this conference, I met a man. He met me very early one morning. We were taking a wash and a shave together. Well, not quite together. He was over there and I was here. He said, he called out with his head buried in his lather. He said, you're Mr. North. Yes, I am. Who are you, Fred? I didn't know who you was. Oh, he said, I'm so and 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 so. I want to talk to you. So I said, oh, fine, let's talk. And I kept the lava out of my mouth. And we talked. He said, you reckon I'm a Christian? I said, really? No. Well, I'm here. Look what I'm doing. I'm giving this. I'm doing that. I've given up my time. I could be earning pounds. I could do this. I'm here. He said, doing it all for nothing. He says, isn't that Christianity? I said, no. Am I a Christian? I said, no. I said, you've merely done that out of the goodness of your own heart. You haven't done that for Christ. Oh. You see? People haven't got a clue. Good works, charitable institutions, orphanages, hospitals, these are all Christian things. They're not. Of course they're not. They're as pagan as the day. There are works, beloved, that God has ordained. There are signs that God has given. There is that which is the infallible proof that God has advanced for mankind to lay hold of, believe in, and accept. And well might we all flee all lesser things, beloved, and move into this realm that God might be glorified among us. What does it mean, they said? What does it all mean? It meant, beloved, when they saw this, they saw it, they heard it, they said, what does it mean? And they said, Jesus Christ is glorified. Amen. And the Holy Ghost had taken the first move in glorifying Jesus. That's right, in Acts chapter 2, as Jesus said, he will glorify me. That's right. And they said, Jesus is glorified. Amen. Now then, beloved brothers and sisters, there is this need, and God lead us into this wonderful truth. You see, if you go back into Isaiah and chapter 42, you will find something about the man that God uses. In the 42nd chapter, God speaking, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Amen. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he shall bring forth, he shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged. Glory. You see, this is the man. He doesn't fail. He doesn't quit the field. He doesn't get discouraged. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And we hear so many who are discouraged after a term on the field, or a period in the ministry, or this, that, or the other. They're so discouraged. He doesn't get discouraged. Got the Spirit of the Lord upon him. He's upheld by God. Nobody can put him down. None of the forces of darkness, none of the powers of evil, none of the machinations of witches and wizards. Nothing can touch him. Nothing. He can't be put down. I uphold him. Glory to God. If you can put God down, you can put him down. But you can't put God down, and he can't go down. God holds him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. My spirit's upon him. Amen. He doesn't need to cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. He's so wonderful, a bruised reed. He never breaks it. Glory. He never quenches the smoking flax. He brings forth judgment to truth. He never fails. He's not discouraged. Why? We ought to read 1 Corinthians 13 here. It says that love never faileth. This is the servant of the Lord. This is the only thing that can't fail. You say, well, he can't fail because he's got the Spirit of the Lord in him. But I want to tell you that no man's got the Spirit of the Lord upon him unless his heart's full of love. No man. Therefore, he can't fail because love never fails. Amen. This is the way that the Lord moves. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Listen, I the Lord have called thee, in verse 6, in righteousness. I'll hold thine hand, he says to his servant. I'll keep thee. I'll give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name. Hallelujah. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. When I was a boy, they taught me to learn that last text. It's one of the 100 texts of the Irish Church Missions directed against popery. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Down with popery. Up with the servants of the Lord. People that move in faith and don't rely on blasphemous ritual. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ritualism will strangle faith any time. Faith must be free. It must go unfettered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It must be prepared and ready to move as the wind bloweth. That's what my book says. It doesn't matter what anybody else says much if they don't talk according to the book. And here's the great revelation, beloved. God says, I uphold this man. You see? And he says it's this for this reason. Verse 15. That he's going to make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs and make the rivers islands and dry up the pools and bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Amen. Verse 18, hear ye deaf, look ye blind, that ye may see. Amen. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect? A perfect man is always blind. A perfect man is always deaf. He doesn't see faults. He doesn't see the things that other people see. He sees only God. He doesn't hear what other people hear. He doesn't hear the allurements of the world. He doesn't hear the calls for creature comforts. He doesn't hear all these things. He hears God. God deafened him. God has blinded him. Look at Jesus Christ. Don't you hear what all these people are saying? They said, don't you hear? He said, don't you know the Pharisees will kill you because you said this? He was absolutely deaf. He said, absolutely deaf. Are you blind? Can't you see what you're doing? Can't you see? No. He's got his eyes on God. You read John 11. You think I live in John 11, won't you? Well, it's the place of the empty tomb. It's a good place to look. See? And when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, everybody else was looking all around here. See? But he was looking up there. You read it and see. He says, Lazarus, come forth. He was blind to all the other things. Nobody is so blind as God's servant. People have got their eyes too full of other people. Their ears are listening to other people's opinions. What so-and-so thinks. Have you read so-and-so? Have you read this book? Have you read that book? Have you read the other book? Now, books have their place. Don't let's get wrong about this. If I didn't think so, I'd waste my time trying to write articles. But the tremendous truth about it, beloved, is that God is wanting to come down and move upon men and women and bring them into a place where they're out in the blinding light of God's truth.
Amen.
That's right. Where you get another sight, and where you get another ear, and where you get another tongue. The other day, beloved, I was asked if I would talk with a certain person, you see, and the tongue had been going and things had been said, and I said to this person, "My brother, if I will be the mouthpiece of G.W. North, I will never be the mouthpiece of God. My brother, if I give my tongue to speaking the things of G.W. North, I shall never speak the things of God." That's right. Dumb. Hallelujah. God cuts your other tongue out. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a great call coming out from God. And I preach this word to you tonight, my brothers and sisters. I'm asking you whether you believe by God's standards. If you believe by God's standards, you'll have the sign in your life. The signs will be there. These signs follow them that believe. Praise God. Glory. This is right. This is what God says. Bless him. They follow them. As though the signs are saying, "Wait till he believes. I'll jump on him." They follow him. Glory, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, you and I, we've got to be very concerned about this. We've got to be concerned about it. What do you feel when you hear someone scream and fall on the floor under the power of something else? What do you feel? What do you think about it? They are but one or two out of the multitudes. Multitudes upon multitudes. And you can preach the so-called gospel to them till your head falls off. They're so blind and so deaf, they're needing signs. They aren't educated in the things of God. They're needing the sign language. That's right. They're needing the sign language. They aren't needing texts pushed into their hands. They're needing sign language. The signs that spirits understand. Not that feed up intellects. These things that they can see and say, "God's here. Glory. God's come." Praise his wonderful name.
Praise.
And God does come, beloved, to meet the needs of men and women. To minister to them. You believe the Lord? If Jesus walked into this room tonight, would he have to upbraid you for your hardness of heart and unbelief? Would he? Even though you've seen the signs. Even though you've had the proof that God is advancing to you. You believe him? And not just believe him for yourself, but believe that there's only one true gospel in the earth. And when it's preached properly, God will attest it with signs. Do you know, I used to have people write to me once when I was a good, respectable sort of a pastor. That's a long time ago now. And when they heard I was going out to preach somewhere, they used to write this verse, you know, "May signs follow the preaching of the word," you see. And they thought, and I thought, that means getting decisions, conversions. Ripping the thing right out of the Bible context. Making it, deliberately making it mean other than God meant it to mean. Palming people off with this spurious thing. Of course it's wonderful to get souls saved. Of course it's glorious to get them saved. Hallelujah. Let's all go out and win souls for Jesus. But beloved, in order to do it, you mustn't rend the scriptures. You mustn't wrest the scriptures. That's forbidden in the book itself. They that wrest the scriptures. It says so. This whole thing, beloved, is set in the loving heart of God, who gave his son to die on that cross and raised him from the dead and set him forth to baptize men and women in the Holy Ghost and fire. Is that right or is it wrong? Did Jesus set about saving souls when he was risen from the dead, or did he first set about baptizing people in the Holy Ghost? Come on, answer up, man and woman. And be honest. This is the truth. The first thing he did, after commanding them that they were to go unto every creature, he says, "Wait." That's right. I've got to deal with your own hard hearts first. That's right. You'll never preach this in faith if you don't preach it in power. You'll never preach it in power unless you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You'll never reach other hearts if you don't believe it yourself. Oh, beloved, to kneel beside and with people older than oneself, not chickens, older than oneself, and hear them sob and say, "Oh, but nobody ever told me before." Yeah, they've been told to repent and come to Jesus. They've been told that. But as to be rid of all these awful things so that they torment them, they don't know whether they believe or whether they don't. They don't know where they are or what they are doing. Beloved. And God has commissioned us to preach a gospel in all its fullness that will shatter the hosts of hell. That's right. And rid people of the grips of demons and bring them out from under the possessions of Satan. That's right. That's what he's commissioned us to preach. And we're to go out and do it. And if you believe, the signs will follow. If you go in his name, the signs will follow. They will take place because God said so. Amen. If I was to say to you, beloved, not to bruise you if you're feeling a broken reed, or not to extinguish you if you're just a smoking flax, if I said to you, how many signs can you produce to the world? Now, to those you live with, you've got to live. But to the world, they don't know. How many signs can you produce to the world? Praise God. Glory to God. How many? These signs. These signs, you can go to them, and it does influence something. You say, "Well, I've got a wonderful peace in my heart, or I've got a wonderful sense of my sins forgiven, or I've got this and that and the other." Really, how many people have been impressed by that? Go on, start being honest and count it up on your fingers. Now, come on.
how many people have really been impressed during your life by that? I didn't say none, but how many? These signs follow them that believe. The greatest thing about these signs, beloved, is that devils believe them too. The greatest thing about these signs, beloved, is that Satan himself believes them too. Amen. The most wonderful thing about it all, beloved, is that God keeps on doing them. He keeps on, and he keeps on, and he keeps on. The sign age is not finished. This age is going to finish with a sign. The sign of the Son of Man coming. That's right. God's going to talk in signs all the way through this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he's speaking to our hearts tonight. Glory. And now then, beloved, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? There's the cross. There's the empty tomb. There's the risen Christ. There are the hard hearts. There's a room full of all the princes of the apostles. Jesus coming into the midst and saying, you're a hard-hearted lot. What am I going to do? And yet, and blessed be his name, and this is why he is that great God of faith. He said, you're to go into the world and preach the gospel, because he believed and knew that in a few days' time he was going to baptize him in the Holy Ghost. He moved in faith. He said, oh, but he knew. Well, that's what faith is. What did you think faith was then? Faith is foreknowledge. It knows before it gets it that it's going to have it. It knows beforehand that it's going to do it. That's faith. It's foreknowledge. It's not teetering about on doubts, fear. Oh, yes, Lord. Faith is foreknowledge. Glory. He knew that he was going to do it. He spoke in faith. You've got to be able to preach a word of faith and know that God will do it. You've got to know. So have I. We've got to be able to move in this realm of knowledge. That's precisely why Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, of course, first, God. It's in this great realm of knowledge. It's in the realm of absolutes, concretes, substances, evidences, proofs. Hallelujah! The blind man, this blind servant of God that God chooses, he doesn't see anything else but the substance of the kingdom. His eyes, if I may but testify to it, beloved, in your presence once more, see the holy Jerusalem. They see the throne of God. They see him that sits upon it. They see the spirits of just men made perfect. They hear the speaking blood. They're those ears. They're dumb. They're blind. They're deaf to everything else. My heart is fixed, eternal God, fixed on thee. That's the blind man. Not fixed hoping to get there, but fixed immovably off him. Not fixed in the sense of ultimate attainment by God's grace, but fixed in the sense of present possession. Going on in the glory of God. This is the way. And because he's blind, he can say to the blind, have your eyes open. Because he's deaf, he can say, hear ye deaf. Hallelujah.
Praise God. If they can't hear, do a sign. Praise God. If they can't see, speak a word of faith. Move in this glorious realm. Get into it. It's the gospel realm. It's the realm of liberation. It's the realm of bringing prisoners out of the prison houses. Get into the realm of confidence. Get into the realm of being upheld by God. And if He doesn't uphold you, you're so weak you can't stand up. You can't do a thing. There you are, you're back in the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Get into this realm that if God doesn't hold you up, nobody can and nothing shall. You won't be propped up by a denomination or a fellowship. There's my servant. I uphold him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I put my spirit on him. That's right. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ooh. When God does these tremendous things, beloved, it's beyond telling. Perhaps with me you're confident that something's got to be done. You may believe that something's got to be done in you. You may say, Lord, if you walked in this room tonight, would you upbraid me? No. That doesn't mean he didn't love them. That's why he upbraided them, because he did. But he didn't just love 11 men. He loved the world. Isn't our little clique gathered here? Aren't we all nice and sweet? We've all, see? It's that world that lies out there. Them that sit in darkness. Them that haven't got a hope. Those that are so bad, they can't break their chains. They can't get free. Only God can do it. But beloved, it must be God in you. Praise Him. Now we've got to believe Him. Now that's all we've got to do, is to believe Him. Hallelujah. That's all you've got to do, is to believe Him. But you've got to believe Him. Hallelujah. Now don't get set for a great big battle. Increase your forehead as though this is a terrible tension. You've got to believe God. Come out of this sophisticated grown-upness. And be a little child. And believe God. Open your heart to Jesus. If you believe Him. If you believe Him. You can do these things. Because Jesus said so. Now, believing to me seems a sort of a logical train of things. That's all it seems to me. I don't know what to tell you to do but believe. If I said jump up and hang on those lamp brackets, you might attempt to do it. But if I said, well, fall on the floor, go on, just to show you believe in something. Mind you, I've been to churches where it's the recognised thing. Perhaps I've told you about it before. They all line up in front, and you put your hand, they all fall back.
And the people stand trying to catch them. That's what they do, yeah? You see? That's right, isn't it? There you are. Apparently she's been there. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You see?
Go on, fall on the floor. You'll believe then, or do that. Now, beloved, listen. Believing is that secret exercise in your heart where you say, oh God, your word is pure. I believe you. That's right. That's right. Lord, I just believe you. Glory. You can speak with new tongues. Jesus said so. That's how I did it. I didn't come through a crazy mixed up notion that I'd got to, or else I couldn't show I was filled with the Spirit. He said it. I did it. I bet. That's right. It doesn't lie in this realm, beloved, of all this sort of thing that men put on. It's just, beloved, that you believe God. And when you believe God, that's the obedience of your spirit. And if he says you shall speak in tongues, then you will. And if he says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, then it'll happen. This is just a matter of shifting onto the laws of God that operate in the kingdom of God. That's all it is. Come out of your intellect now. Come on. You come out of the word of God. A greater intellect than thine is speaking. Come on. You're to move under the word of God. The word of faith. You shall speak in other tongues. And you shall go on by the grace of God and become a servant of the Lord. Hallelujah.